I felt God saying, there's another level. There's another place to go. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want more of God. I want more of His Spirit. I want more of His power that changes communities, that transforms life. And I wonder this morning whether that's a challenge for you. Is there another level? Does God want you to take that step into the deeper waters? Is God saying, step out, step more deeply, be filled in a new way? I was listening to music back from the 90s, and I remember back in the 90s, we had all this stuff like Delirious was going, Hillsongs was on, God was on the move. We felt, I don't know, I was in my 20s, that was like, yes. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like we've stagnated these days. But God has more for us, doesn't He? He has another level. And so this morning, maybe that's a word for someone here. Go deeper, pull in. You know, what is the next level God is calling you to? Maybe that's the challenge this morning. Thank you. We'll leave it there. Let's just pray, actually. Pray for a minute longer and we'll pray. Father God, this morning, as we come to the Word, we just pray that You would use that Lord God, it wouldn't be me, it would be Your Spirit, Lord. I pray that You would be more and I would be less, and that as we share together, You'd focus our spirits and our minds on You, and You would breathe through everything that happens just now as we look in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. I will mention that briefly. On the 5th of March, I'm going to plan a men's bowling evening. So if you're interested in Tenpin bowling on the 5th of March, we're going to try and organise that. I'll maybe post a thing on the internet, you know, like a sign-up sheet. Come along. It will be fun. We've had ladies' breakfast. We have men's bowling. Yes. Great. Okay. So we're going to look. I've entitled this, I think we've got some slides, New Covenant. Okay. It's called New Covenant. Now, I've said that, we're looking in the Old Testament, we're looking at the Holy Spirit. One of the things that Jeremiah said in the prophecy we're going to read is that I will make a new covenant. And sometimes we get a little bit confused about this, don't we? We think, oh, well, God gave us an old covenant, He gave us a new covenant, He changed His mind. Well, obviously He didn't change His mind. God's not a man that He changes His mind. He doesn't go, oh, that was rubbish, I'm going to try again. Because if He was God, He wouldn't be perfect if He did that, would He? So the new covenant was kind of a fulfillment in many ways of all that had been leading up here. And over the last weeks, we've been thinking about what the covenant is about. From Abraham, Noah, all the way through David, we've heard about Moses, until the New Testament. And before we get to the covenant fulfilled next week with the coming of Jesus and all of that, today we're thinking about what was said about the Holy Spirit's coming in the Old Testament. And we're thinking about the fact that it was said there would be a new covenant. So we're going to look at these two scriptures here, Joel chapter 2, 28 to 32, and Jeremiah 31 to 34. Okay. Now, in preface to this, I don't know about you, but have you ever wanted to be more holy, tried to have more of the fruit of the Spirit, but found it almost impossible? Have you ever been in that place? I grew up in the Salvation Army. Lots of you know that already. It's known as a holiness movement. We used to have holiness meetings. And what I found was there was this challenge for perfection. You know, you don't want to sin anymore. You want to live this way. You want to get rid of those things in your life. You want transformation and change. But I found like it was a striving. It was a real struggle to try and do that. You know, okay, I need to put these things in the Bible in practice. But as I grew up, I then encountered the Alpha Course, actually. And I had heard about the Holy Spirit as I grew up, but I'd never really encountered Him. And then on the Alpha Course, I was prayed for, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a change in me, okay? There was a difference. Trying to be holy was not like this struggle. It was the power of God living in you, helping you to be different, developing the fruit of the Spirit. And as we look at this morning, I want you to just think about that, you know, think about what that's saying. We're going to look at those prophecies, and we're going to think about what that means in terms of the Spirit living in us, because the Spirit living in you gives you the possibility of the miraculous. Miraculous acts, things that God does that are miraculous, a miraculous change in your life. When that holiness, that desire to be different is like a striving, stop a minute. Ask the Spirit to fill you. So we're going to think about that. So we're going to read these prophecies. We're going to read the first one from Joel chapter 2, verse 26 to 32. Joel 26, chapter 2, verse 26, sorry, 28. That's my reading glasses. Verse 28 to 32. And it says this. And it's actually entitled The Day of the Lord, and we're going to come to that because it's very interesting at this point in history as well, I believe. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Amen. What a scripture. What a hope. Okay. Joel was a prophet. We see him as a minor prophet, mainly because his book is thinner than some of the others. But basically, he was speaking into a time when Israel had been through a famine. There'd been locusts in the land. And he was calling for a repentance and then a restoration. And so it's a bit of a dark time. We're living in a bit of a dark time, aren't we? And God comes with this word of hope. After he said, oh, you need to repent, there needs to be this change. Very interesting, in the book of Joel, there's that scripture that says, the years the locusts have eaten, I will restore. In other words, God is going to give back those things that have been bad and destructive, God can restore. And then this scripture comes as well, okay? And so we're going to look at two things from this scripture, then we're going to come to Jeremiah, because these are the two main prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Holy Spirit, okay? First of all, what is the day of the Lord? It's a good question. So we're going to go to the next slide, if that's okay. What is the day of the Lord? Now, some see this as Jesus' return. We heard about Revelation, interestingly, first thing this morning. We think about Jesus' return. And in the Bible, the day of the Lord is often seen as a kind of day of judgment, but a day of deliverance as well. Now, when you look at the Bible, it talks about Babylon. Babylon is this corrupt system, if you like. Often it was literal in the Bible in one sense, but then it was referred to often as the world. The things that are wrong in the world that bring destruction, sin, corruption, all those things. And the day of the Lord was often seen as the day that that system, the sin of the world, the corruption of the world, would be overthrown and turned around to the kingdom of God, where there is joy and light and hope and all of those things. And often for the people of Israel, it was the day of the Messiah, the day when Jesus would come. Well, they believed a Messiah would come. Some have accepted that was Jesus, some have not. But that is the day of the Lord. So there's this past tense in terms of Jesus' death and resurrection was like the day of the Lord. He brought deliverance. He brought salvation for us. We can enter into the kingdom of God. But there was also this other sense that there's going to be a complete change in the kingdom of the world. And in the days we're living in now, I wonder whether we see this Babylon in our world, do we? I mean, look at the news this last week. Look at what's going on. People arguing with each other, leaders of the nations telling other nations how rubbish they are, all kinds of stuff going on. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but I've been looking recently at Augustine, and he wrote a thing called City of God. Some of you will know about that. And he spoke about the fact that often we look at the city of man and we think that God is in that, God's working in it, and he is. He's still in control, but ultimately the kingdom of God is a different system, a different place. And we need to not be looking at this world. We need to be looking at the kingdom of heaven, because this world will fail us. Even some of those who pronounce this is all done for God, this is God's way, sometimes they're wrong. I mean, Rome was given over at the time Augustine wrote. Rome was given over to the Jesus in one sense. They had said they were Christian, and then they were invaded and destroyed. And so everyone was like, what's going on? But Augustine was the one saying, well, actually, you've put your hope in the wrong thing. You need to put your hope in Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, because human kingdoms fall, don't they? If you look at history, it happens over and over again. But the kingdom of heaven remains. And the kingdom of heaven was established on the cross. By Jesus' death and resurrection, you were given eternal life. You were taken from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. Amen? And so this morning, know the truth that you are in that kingdom and that that kingdom has come. And it says there will be signs, doesn't it? In this scripture, it says there will be signs. The moon will turn to blood. There will be darkness. And we know that in the scriptures, in Matthew 24, Jesus said that there would be signs in the last days. There would be wars. There would be rumors of wars. There would be great shaking. And you look at the world today, and we don't know. I mean, do we know when Jesus is going to return? Anyone got the date? Thank you. We don't know. Jesus said, no one knows the time or the hour except for the Father. And so we don't know, but we have to be ready and we have to be watching. Okay? And we don't know what period of history we're in. Definitely closer than we've been before, aren't we? And so my question this morning is two things from this day of the Lord. Are you saved? Is the first thing. Gene stepped into the red, the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross. Have you accepted him for the now? Because that brings transformation to your life today and you move into the kingdom. So if you haven't done that this morning, do that today. He loves you. He died for you. He wants a relationship for you. But then also, are you continually living in that? And are you preparing yourself? Well, one day Jesus will return. Now, it might not be in our lifetimes. Who knows? But if it's tomorrow, are we ready? Are we ready? And that's a challenge for us all. Okay. So, and the last thing to remind you there, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is awesome, isn't it? I haven't put that up there yet. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, the day of the Lord, salvation for us now, future salvation, second coming of Jesus. Let's look at two other things now. The first one from Joel, miraculous acts. Let's read that again. At the beginning of that scripture, it said this, that your daughters, here it is, hang on a moment, pour out my spirit on all people. Your daughters and sons will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. The promise here is that the Holy Spirit will be given power to do miraculous things. Now, we know in the Old Testament, you see miraculous things happening. Okay, certain people, like prophets, they would speak for God and they would predict sometimes the future. They would also challenge about repentance. There's this foretelling and foretelling of prophecy. There are those people who are given special abilities. I've been reading recently about a man whose name I can't pronounce, Balziel, is it? Who was given special abilities to help make the things for the tabernacle. And the Spirit of the God was put in him, so he created those things, special creativity by the Spirit. Samson was given strength, wasn't he? Okay. So we see the Spirit of God coming on specific people in the Old Testament. But here, suddenly we're told, but the Spirit will be for all people. Old man, young man, women, servants, everybody. The Spirit would be available for everyone. And you would see vision, you would prophesy, you would dream dreams. And if we look into the New Testament, we know that that means there would be healing. There would be people set free. There would be the miraculous acts of the Spirit of God. Now, some people live in a place where they believe the Bible says, oh, that was for that dispensation. That was when, in Acts, the Spirit of God came upon people at Pentecost, but now that's finished. That's not biblical, from my point of view. That is not what is real. The reality is the Spirit of God was given to us now for all time. okay? And the Spirit of God does just the same miracles today that he did in the Bible, okay? And so we don't just write that off. Some people have used that because maybe we haven't seen a miracle. Maybe we're disappointed. And so we go, well, it was for then, but because I haven't seen it now, I'm not sure I can believe it. That's not biblical. Biblically, we say the Spirit of God is with us now and living in you today. And the possibility of miraculous acts is now, today. Okay? And so that is an amazing thing to know. The gifts of the Spirit, we've said that. So Paul said this as well, interestingly. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and the Holy and the Spirit's power. Look. So basically, he's saying there that I'm not just talking. It's good to talk. It's good to give you the word of God, but it goes together with the Spirit of God. Yes? And so when the Spirit of God comes, there's a power to that. You know, there's a different dynamic to what God is doing. And so Paul came with this Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives a supernatural dimension to the word as it's shared. It's not just what's in your head given out, intellectually accepted. It's hitting you here in your spirit. And it's changing you. And it's transforming you. At Pentecost, there was signs, wasn't there? The wind blew through the place when the disciples were there waiting for the Holy Spirit. You can read this in Acts chapter 2. There were tongues of fire that rested upon the heads of the disciples. Now, just imagine that now. You wouldn't be able to deny that was miraculous, would you? If we were praying and there was a wind that blew through the place and then tongues of fire. I watched a video years ago. I don't know whether any of you watched these, called Transformations. It's about like places where revival has hit in the world. And there was one where it happened to go, they were talking about the Inuit Indians, I believe. And they were gathered in one place and they were praying and they were seeking God for change because in their community there'd been a lot of terrible things happening. And suddenly there was a shaking in the place and they tried to record it and they recorded the sound and it was like this shaking. And so even today there was this kind of miraculous thing where these guys were praying and felt the Spirit of God blow through the room where they were. In fact, the miraculous thing about it when I watched it was the guy tried to stop the tape recording, but it kept recording even though he tried to turn the power off and everything, and they played back the recording of this sound. And as the people who were there at that actual time listened to that again, you could see the emotion on their faces as they heard that. They knew that God had done something different because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So there are miraculous acts. And then some of us speak in tongues, don't we? And there's a lot of controversy about the gift of tongues. And I do believe that it's something God wants us to have. And I'm going to tell you this brief story because I think it might encourage some of you. When I was on Alpha, I heard about the gift of tongues for the first time, really. And I was like, oh God, why do I need this? And I went to the scriptures. I remember having a discussion with my mum. She's a good Christian. She believes in Jesus, she's saved, she's going to heaven. And she said to me, though, why would I want to speak in tongues when I can just speak in my normal voice to God and he understands? And I went away and thought of that. But then I looked at scripture and actually Paul says, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. I wish you could all speak in tongues. It doesn't mean we do it all the time because that would be chaos. Paul speaks into that and says there should be an interpretation. In services, we don't just speak in tongues all the time. That's an aside. But the point is this. I went to God and I said, okay, God, I've read scripture. I'm going to go with seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open, ask and you'll receive. And I sat and I said, God, if you want me to have this, would you give it me? If it's something that's going to help me in my spiritual walk. And then one night, as I was praying, I just suddenly started to speak in this new language. Okay? And so God does give that. You know, he does give that spiritual language that helps you to communicate from your spirit to God. And it's a wonderful gift that God gives to us. And it's not that one Christian is better than another. That is wrong. If anyone ever says, well, because I've got the gift of tongues, I'm better than you, that's nonsense. Okay? But it can be something that helps us when you don't know how to pray. There's been circumstances in my life where I've gone, I just don't know what to say, God. And so I've sat there and prayed in the Spirit, and it's brought comfort, okay? And so The reason I'm telling you that is because I think there's a lot of confusion about this, and it's one of the miraculous signs, isn't it? It's just one, along with healing, deliverance, prophecy, all those other gifts, but it's one that's there, and we shouldn't fear it. So what I'm saying to you this morning, do not fear that as a gift, okay? And all the gifts are used in love, aren't they? Corinthians 13, love one another. We heard about that last week, in fact. And that's in the middle of how we use the spiritual gifts. So miraculous signs. But the next thing, which I actually think is more important, is miraculous change. So we're going to look at Jeremiah now. Now, the context of Jeremiah, just so you know, is that he was prophesying into the time when Jerusalem was falling to Babylon and the people were going to be taken into exile. He was a very unpopular prophet. He's often known as the weeping prophet. He was thrown in a cistern at one point and left there. And he talks about many of these terrible things that happened to him, but he kept proclaiming the word of God. And in the middle of his kind of, you must repent, there must be change, you must go into Babylon, when other prophets were saying, no, stay here, he was saying, go into Babylon, you're going to have to go, it's what's going to happen now. Okay, in the middle of that, he gives some really hopeful prophecies. You know, if you know the scripture, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a good future, that's in the middle of Jeremiah, okay? And so he was a powerful prophet, he was a major prophet, his book is bigger. So anyway, that was his situation. And we're going to read from Jeremiah. It's going to be Jeremiah chapter 31, okay? I will just find that. He says. Jeremiah 31. And starting at verse 31. Says this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is where we get this new covenant from. With the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor, saying to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What a powerful word again. And this again is a prophecy of the Spirit of God coming upon the people. If you look at the people of Israel, it says here that they broke the covenant. They continually were disobedient to God, weren't they, in the Old Testament. When God said, do this, they did the opposite, often. Okay, there are examples where there were periods where they managed to be better than others. But because of that, there was this judgment on them. And it was the law was given so that they tried to follow it to show that actually we fall short. We can't be perfect, can we? We can't always keep every letter of the law because it's difficult. And the people of Israel were an example of that, okay? But it makes us aware of sin and makes us aware that's a problem and there needs to be a change. And so then this new thing that Jesus said came to give us was his death and resurrection. But after that, at Pentecost, pouring out the Spirit of God, giving us the power to change, to be different, okay? It would be like, I will write my law on their hearts and on their minds. In other words, the Spirit of God within us helps us to know. I don't know whether you've ever had that situation where you're about to do something and you get a nudge from the Spirit, almost a sense down here, this isn't right, don't do that, don't go there. Or the Spirit of God comes and says, puts his finger on something and says, hey, this needs to change in your life. Have you ever had that? And that's the Spirit of God at work, along with the Word. Some churches are the Word, and like the Word is the center. Some are the Spirit. We need both together, yes? So we need to measure things against the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one who will help us to know. And it meant that God would now live in you. What was previously impossible for the people of Israel, trying to keep those laws, becomes a possibility. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that today. Perfection is never going to happen till we meet Jesus. But it means that more often, the Spirit of God in you prompts you and changes you and helps you to be actually more the person God made you to be in the first place, free of the corruption and the sin and the guilt and the shame and all the things in your life that God wants to transform and wash, like that deeper water Gene was talking about. The Spirit of God can change you. Gives you the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Change of character. Now, I could be the most prophetic person in the world or the person with the gift of healing. But imagine if I was unkind and mean and spoke badly. What would that prophetic act or those healing acts count for? They wouldn't count as much. Well, in fact, I'd say they wouldn't count at all, because your character should be changing. Jesus said, you will know them by your fruit, by their fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What are those things developing in your life? And the Spirit of God will develop those things and change your character. In the world today, character of integrity is not valued, is it? It's more about personality, about your charisma, about what you can do. But actually, we need to be the people saying, I want to be different. I want to live a life of truth. I want to be faithful. I was thinking about faithfulness on the way here this morning. Faithfulness is really lacking today, isn't it? People committed and saying, I'm going to do this, and then following through or committing to something that God is saying to them. God wants us to be faithful, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so then he goes on to say, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will know me from the least of them to the greatest. In other words, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Jesus said, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. I think it's John 14, where he speaks about the Spirit of God coming and what the Spirit of God will be. And one of the things he says he'll be a counselor, but he says he will be your teacher. He will lead you into all truth. And so when we're wondering, God, I'm not understanding, we say, well, teacher, Holy Spirit, teach me. We go to the Word. We ask him to speak to us through the Word. We ask him to speak to us through other people. He speaks to us in many ways, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And so though we may not feel like we're aware, he comes and helps us to know here and to know here what he is doing. So how do I change? The Holy Spirit changes you, okay? He helps you to understand things of God and also understand yourself better, you know, to understand the things in yourself that maybe are weaknesses, that maybe he can change, yeah, all of those things. We have to have the desire to change. It's a cooperation. If your heart is hardened, if your heart is, well, I'm happy with this situation in my life, I'm not going to change it, well, you're not soft. You've got to allow God to soften your heart. But when your heart is soft and you're open, then the Spirit of God can come in and can go, okay, I'm going to lead you gently. He's never going to force his way into your life. He's a gentleman. He will come gently into your life and he will lead you, but only if you open the door. And so, I want to finish with these thoughts. Are you ready? The day of the Lord. In other words, for now, today, have you asked Jesus into your life and are you in a relationship with him? Because that will change everything, make life different. But also, are you looking to the day of the Lord when he returns? Are you ready? Are you, if he comes back tomorrow, are you in that place where you'd like to be when you meet him? You're not in the place where, I'm not sure I know God well enough. When he returns, will I know who he is? We want to be the people, I've been talking to him yesterday, so tomorrow when he comes back, I'm going to know who he is. Amen? And then the other thought is this. Do you want to see God at work? Do you want to see his miraculous acts? Freedom for people, healing, transformation of communities and society. Do you want miraculous change in your own life? Do you want to become all that God has put in you? Do you want to move up to that next level or go deeper in the river of God? It's a challenge for you today. Those things are a challenge for you today. And we're going to share communion soon. The kids should be coming back in any moment now. And when you share that together, we're going to give you a chance, if you want to be prayed for, to be filled with the Spirit, you can come and you can see myself, Trevor, or if you feel to pray with one another for being filled with the Spirit. This morning, it's a good opportunity to say, I want to be filled again. Maybe you are filled. Maybe you just want to go deeper this morning. This morning, take the chance. Take the opportunity to seek God in a new way. I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back to Trevor. And at that point, the kids should be coming in, hopefully. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we have thought about how it was prophesied that you would come by your Spirit in power, that you would die for us on the cross, you'd rise again, and then you'd pour out your Spirit upon all mankind. And so we thank you for the Spirit of God. And this morning, as we conclude and as we share in communion, we pray that your Spirit would continue with us, that you would put your finger on things in our lives that maybe need to change, that we would be open to that change, and that, Lord God, you would breathe through all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.